good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show coming to you live out of Alaska. 17 below this morning. Whoa! I've had enough cold weather, suit me. We've had several weeks of this, 17 to 23 or 24 below. We used to get a little bit of that once in a while, but all of a sudden, this year, we're really catching up. Anyway, got a lot of information that this Mooney case is turning into something, and it's absolutely astounding. But I'm going to make a couple of comments before we get into it. I mean, that's just the depth of the corruption in these courts boggles the mind. I can unequivocally say we have no constitutional courts except the Supreme Court of the United States. That's it. That's a pretty crazy statement. That's a pretty scary statement. This guy it's hard to, you just can't believe they can't make this stuff up. Anyway, I was just reading here, it looks like the Senate has maybe outsmarted these dang stupid, these corrupt Democrats, the party of Satan. I saw where McConnell has got the rules to where the Trump attorneys can put, they got like they're calling it a kill switch, a motion to dismiss or like a summary judgment or directed verdict. So, because you know that the old Shifty is going to get up there and just lie his butt off with no facts. The thing is, what's so crazy? There's not even a crime alleged. How in the holy heck can you proceed forward with no crime? And they got one fact witness. And it's all about the transcript, which is public. Both parties say nothing happened, and they got one fact witness says no quid pro quo. That's it. Ball game's done. You just can't make this stuff up. I mean, these guys take lies, and they just tell lie after lie after lie. Of course, we got the Democratic media propaganda arm of the Democratic Party out there. Most of them are corrupt or in on it. And people believe it, CNN and all the other ones. It's going to be interesting next week to see how this turns out. So anyway, want to get into the Mooney's case, because this is really going to get interesting. We have done something that, I say we, I just provide research to the Moody's. I don't have firsthand. These are the people doing it. I'm not an attorney, not a counselor at law. So anybody that wants to try that little game can go to hell. Been down that road many times before. Anyway, just as a brief overview to get started. And then what I found. It just shocks the conscience of what these guys have been getting away with. We know unequivocally, without doubt, the United States District Courts, they're called, it's in 28 U.S.C. 132. They exercise the judicial power of a district court. And that's a fact. It's in the statute. Interesting part is, it's not even a law of the United States. That's the thing that bothered me when I saw the swearing in of the Chief Justice in the House or in the Senate. They use the Constitution and the laws. That's a generic term. Constitution's fine. Because technically there's only one Constitution, but they use both. But laws is a generic word. In Article 6 is laws of the United States of America. Why did they leave that out? Are they just a couple of words? Are they short on time? They can't with specificity do this? Because just like in the Attorney General's Manual, which they still use out of 1947, they changed the bylaw. It was statute to bylaw, and bylaw includes all regulations and anything that they would have put in there. And they still use it. This is the con that they do. They redefine this stuff with means, and so what we think we're reading, it's not true. How in the heck do they expect somebody to understand what's going on? The law was never made to be a whole bunch of definitions of this means that, dog means cat, and all this other nonsense. It's supposed to be somewhat straightforward, but it's not. So we have to deal with the world we live in. So getting back to the Moonies, this was a case out of the district of, we put in the district court of the United States in quotation marks. And that case has never been done before that I have any knowledge. I monitor all kinds of cases. A reduced to judgment, and Nelson, she's the same one that did Thornton's case where they ended up with $500,000, probably closer to $1 million, when they got him to confess that he had a safe, and then he turns around and calls him up and gives him his location of another secret safe that's got about another $300,000. And I tell you, I'd have went to jail in a heartbeat over that for a year, but whatever. Everybody's got their breaking points. So anyways, this judge is supposedly exercising the judicial power of a district court. And under the revisor's notes, what is amazing about this, the authority is accepted practice. I kid you not. Accepted practice? You just can't. How can this be? Accepted practice? Unbelievable. That's the authority for 28 U.S.C. 132, judicial power of a district court. Now, of course, we know because I've got cases on this now. I bring this up here. The bottom line is, the judge, if you call him a judge, he's under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. And what is that? That is where they get around, because there's two types of courts that they put in. Article 3, arising under Article 3, which is, by the way, established and ordained. Those are permanent. They can't do away with it. They have to use law and equity. Even though the states get around and do away with it, the several states, they still, when they get to the federal side, they have to do that. And it was called the Madisonian Compromise, because Madison, they had to have a compromise because one wanted to go straight from the constitutional courts straight to the Supreme Court. Another group wanted the limited jurisdiction of the courts of the United States, called the District Court of the United States and the Circuit Courts of the United States. Well, they ended up with the District Courts of the United States and Circuit Courts of the United States. The Circuit Courts of the United States lasted until 1911. They were removed. Can't think of the word here. They were repealed. And the judicial power went to the District Court of the United States. That was the only constitutional lower court left, 1911. This is all right in the code. They print this stuff. Then in 1934, they decided to do away with law and equity and put it all in a substantive nonsense. They did the civil in 1934, and they did the criminal in 1940. But you know what? They have no authority to do that. But how did they get away with it? They created a new court called the United States District Court, technically in 1948, called the United States District Court. And then they combined the District Courts of the United States and the District Courts, the territories, and D.C. and all that in one chapter, and they said, oh, they're all the same. So that's like putting an eagle and a dove together, and they're all birds, so therefore everything works. No, that's not the way it works. I got this all in black and white, all the congressional records, the legislative history. There's no longer any doubt about any of this. I mean, it's right there. It's taken a long time to get to this point, but it is there. And this, these legislative courts are under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. And that is to create tribunals. Tribunals. They're legislative courts. And if you go to these legislative courts, I want to find the quote here, the case, so I get it correct here. There's two cases that just lay it out nice and beautifully. And this is what they did in 1948. So the question is, does the District Court of the United States still exist? Yes, constitutionally, it still exists. They never repealed it. No, they didn't repeal it. They just went in the closet. We don't need it no more. Because we got everybody hoodwinked, and we're going to use this other United States District Court. And I got a brief that's just an amazing. I'm going to be adding to that in a complaint that was filed into the Court of Claims, Federal Court of Claims. But the case is Eastern Metals Corporation versus Martin. It's a killer case. 191F SUPP, that's FedSup. That means it's a district court case. 245, 1960. The United States District Court is an inferior court, inferior to the United States Supreme Court. The District Court is a tribunal created by Congress under the power given to Congress by Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. Right there in freaking black and white. And it is a statutorily created court. It has no constitutional authority under Article 3, which is those courts under Article 3, Clause 1 and 2 exercise judicial power of the United States, not the judicial power of a district court. Big difference. And they use law and equity. It's there. They can't get rid of it. It says, and to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, they cite a Supreme Court case. The creation and composition of the United States District Court is presently set forth in 28 U.S.C. 132. The United States District Court has only such jurisdiction as Congress confers upon the court. The general jurisdiction of the United States District Court is set forth in Title 28, Chapter 85, 1331 through 1360. General jurisdiction? The constitutional courts have a limited jurisdiction. They don't have general jurisdiction. State courts have, like your superior court, supreme, some of those, they have general jurisdiction over all kinds of things. The other case that is a killer, to understand this, United States versus Roberts. This is 618F2D 530, Ninth Circuit. There shall be in each judicial district, by the way, judicial districts, it looks like is another because they were called districts initially. I got to confirm that. But the judicial power of a district court may be exercised by a single judge. You know what they're just saying? That's called an inquisitor. That's what they got rid of out of the Star Chambers back in the 16th century in England. Yep, they called it the cruel trilemma. That's all these courts are some phase. There's some thing of that if you understand what's going on. Where number one, the first thing they do, they want it is you have to incriminate yourself. When books and records, they take you off and they have an IRS agent. They actually call it an inquisition because he won't answer questions. They put you under oath. That's the second part of the cruel trilemma. And the first one is they ask you questions and you must confess to what they want. John Thornton went through that up in Minnesota. He didn't go there. So the first part, you must self-incriminate. Second part is it's got to be under the penalties of perjury. The second part is they get you for contempt of court, which they did John Thornton. He broke on that. Or they will take your property or any combination. They used to even kill people doing that back in England. We don't do that here. That's a little too obvious. It's called the cruel trilemma of the Star Chamber. All of these other courts are all some variation of that nonsense if you sit down and analyze it. But it is continuing on. This last provision should be noticed, it is fundamental. A district judge has no judicial power individually. The judicial power is exercised as a representative of the court. Jurisdiction is lodged in a court, not in a person. The judge exercises the jurisdiction, acts for the court. And they cite another case. Two of them, actually. The judge is acting for the court. Courts are solely the creation of statute in a place where a judge thereof may exercise jurisdiction and subject absolutely to the control of Congress. Another case. So what are we saying to just in plain English? That judge is representing that court, and that court is under the control of Congress. It's just plain and simple. There it is right there. He is not an independent judge. He's biased. We have these state plans, which I have 50, all 53 of them. Actually, I got D.C., Virgin Islands, and Guam. State plans, of which controls your driver's licenses, controls your child custody, the slavery stuff, passports, all sorts of things. And guess what? The authority for every state plan is all federal code of federal regulations. It's all federal. It's black and white. And in these regulations, I've just debunked one of them again, and I have those. If you want it, send me what state you're in, and I'm going to post all of 50 of them to the, or 53 of them to the list. I just haven't gotten around to it. I need to do that. But I show how in Alaska, the cooperative agreement between the CSSD, the executive side, back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer, S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store. so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Okay, we're back. And in this, geez, child custody, it's slavery. What they're doing is selling children. That's tell like it is. They have agreements. In these state plans, it started back in 1935. They used it under the, when we had the, everybody was broke during the Depression. But we had to standardize all the states for the unemployment stuff. That's when the states surrendered into the state plans. All of the authority is all Code of Federal Regulations. None of the regulations have the force and effect of law. You see, we have laws of the United States. We have laws of the several states. Then we have force and effect of the law in the statutory, in this crazy matrix, this headless fourth branch of government, by the way, and that came from FDR, 1937, in his research, when the agencies were getting away from him. In this, you get the cooperative agreements. It lists a 3.1 list. You'll find driver's licenses and all kinds of stuff. Then you have to, they really do not want to cough up these cooperative agreements, because like the one in Alaska between the CSSD, which is the child slavers in the executive and the quote court system, Article 6, it says the judge is audited for the amount of money they make. And if he don't make enough money, they all get penalized. It's about money. They could give a rat's rump about the children. It's a con of the highest degree. They're selling children. Plus, I got the 1997 Act of Congress. They offer, they give $4,000 for the healthy ones and $2,000 for the special needs ones. And, of course, that's went up a lot. And they say, get them while they're young. Hey, wow. Boy, that sounds like the Republic where I want to be, have my children. Anybody that wants to fight that stuff, I will help you. I have some of the, you have to get the administrative rulemaking for that state. None of them have the force and effect of law. Wait, what? And it's just crazy. But people don't seem to believe it. Like I've talked about this before, Alice Brown, we lost our little girl was adopted out because I knew it was all corrupt, and it took me. I didn't find out about it soon enough. But they tried that on a second child of hers down in Montana. And, boy, they didn't want that cooperative agreement out. They wrote her a check for $20,000 and told her to get the hell out of Montana. So she unfortunately went down to California, and that's another long story. But anyways, so we're back to this. That judge is acting for the court, and the court is under the control of Congress. Why is that important? Well, aren't you supposed to have an independent judge? Because you see, the thing that really hangs these SOBs up, I have 110 cases which I downloaded and put into the public record. United States of America is a sovereign body politic. Did you realize United States of America is a sovereign body politic and the people no longer are sovereign? With a limited delegation of power? Did you know we lost that? The United States of America is Congress. They're doing the political rights because a citizen of the United States has no political rights. Black and white. No right of the elective franchise. No right of suffrage. No right to have an Article III court, constitutional court. No right, no protections from taxation without representation. That one's been, I think, like six Supreme Court cases. Those people in D.C. can't seem to get it through their thick heads. They're in for the seat of the government of the United States existence. The United States is not a country. It's like a corporate. They're all corporations and are fictions. That's the seat of the United States. The government of the United States was created. It was not given a country. It has the power to have exclusive jurisdiction, like corporations can have. They can own property. But it has no country. If you have no country, guess what you don't get? You don't get the due process of law and the law of the land. Those mean the same thing. You can have due process under the 14th, but not due process of law. They leave off the of law anymore. Just due process. Which means we will treat all of you fictions the same in these courts, these kangaroo courts. Even a citizen of France. You can own land. You'll get due process over here. Did they tell us this stuff? Why don't they tell us what the hell is going on? Then, in the Mooney's case, they were deposed. And this Wallen, he showed up. I've got to analyze his stuff. But anyway, to go on to the story in Quebec, this case then went to the Federal Court of Claims, United States Federal Court of Claims. And after we got there, I found out it's not even a court of the United States. You know why? Because the judges are only in there for 15 years. You got to have permanent tenure to be a court of the United States. And from 1953 to 1982, it was a bona fide Article III court. Congress figured out how to put that into a statute, Article III. Then in 1982, they made it an Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9 legislative court, and without permanent tenure, it's not even a court of the United States, but the Supreme Court says, well, it's acting as though it is an article, as though it is. But you know what? If you have no office, you're not bound. You can do any freaking thing you want. That word office is the key, which is our limited delegation of power to act without our permission. It's like a contract to do certain things. You have to have the office that we have authorized, either by the Constitution or by the legislature or Congress. They don't have it. That's why we were able to sue a judge in Alaska. She has no de jure office. She's operating under the bar, something created by the bar, Third Judicial District. And the bar says so. We created it. Did you know that the bar can do stuff and get people bound in their world, in the administrative world? In Alaska, that judge is nothing more than representing the Alaska bar. And they have a Rule 5 and a Rule 64 to make sure that they don't do constitutional law. If they step over the line, they lose a bar card. Yeah. You just can't make this stuff up. I mean, it shocks the damn conscience. So we went up anyway with Moody's to, when I say we, Moody's, I'm just... the standing brief between the United States and the United States of America, that judge could not touch it. She kept it in her chambers for 13 days. Come back and said, oh, that Article 3, that United States District Court is an Article 3 court. And that's why we lost there. So then it was appealed to the United States Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, in the legislative history, in 1982, when it was created, they said that they were going to do subject matter jurisdiction, and it would have national jurisdiction. But they didn't say it was Article 3, because they said the other courts, appellate courts, are all geographical. But they're going to use subject matter jurisdiction. Them lying SOBs codified that in 28 U.S.C. 1296, and it lasted one damn freaking year, and they repealed it and put something else in there. It's not an Article 3 court either, even though it acts like one. Why the hell do we have to act like one? Why don't we give it the actual authority? Because then we could hold them accountable. So anyway, while we were up there, the Moonies had filed in a Liz Pendens, which says there's a case and it puts a cloud on the title. in the lower court, in the court of claims. So all of a sudden, this Paul, this Palestinian guy, you know, he's from there. I don't know if he's immigrated from there, but he's a Palestinian. He goes back and said, guess what? Mooney's, hey, by the way, we need your permission to authorize the sale, permission to distribute the funds, and permission to transfer the deed. Well, wait a minute. The judgment was final. You're going to ask if I want to give away my property and the money and the deed? You got to be kidding me. So that proves conclusively that the judgment was not final. You can't say final judgment because that means you'd have no appeal. So you can say the judgment was not final. That's another one of the things you got to be careful of. So anyway, the Moonies filed back in then. What are you doing down here? Filed in several motions back in that court. There was a hearing held last Thursday in St. Paul. And actually, several people showed up there, which was interesting. That's, I guess, listening to the show or something, which is good. And I'm going to read what was read into the record that I just wrote up to establish a record. But what's more important, that case, how do you deal with a case that has to be final? The judgment is supposed to be final. You go up to the Court of Claims, and you go up to the Circuit Court of Appeals, and they gave the Mooney 60 days because the fact that it's not final, because this court is opening up. Now we're going to file back into both those courts to give them notice with the docket sheet. This Nelson down here is got all this stuff under consideration. So obviously she's admitted that the judgment was not final. Now, one of the things that I've been wanting to work on, and I'd worked on it before and I couldn't find it, is standing. Standing is a killer, because what these people do, they start off in the United States District Court as United States of America, plaintiff. Well, in Westlaw, it's really easy to see when to search that. That started in 1913 after the 17th Amendment. From 1789 to 1913, United States was the real party of interest for the government of the United States. And it changed in 1913. So the obvious question, what the hell changed in 1913? They did the 17th Amendment. They had the people already believing they were citizens of the United States because they inverted that after the Civil War. Congress did, with no authority. Doesn't really exist. But it's like the lies. People buy into it. How do we know? Citizens of the United States. They needed to get rid of the legislature that has standing to elect senators of the United States. So they did that in 1913. One damn word. And I found this by accident. A lot of this, I don't know, I read tons of cases and stuff. I search. Anyway, I was just looking, and I found in the Article 1, Section 2, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states. That has not been amended. People of the several states. So what did they do in the 17th? They left out several. Got people of the states in the 17th. Why would they do that? Oh, because then we can define state. Which they've done in the National Voter Registration Act since 1993. State means states, state of the United States, which means that the state is subservient, like a, it's a municipal entity under the United States and the District of Columbia. Yep. That's in the National Voter. So there are no elections for any public officers of the several states. Definitely since 1993, before that. But let's just use 1993. That's a cutoff for, we can conclusively prove. There's no public, there's no elections for them. And I got an ALR, 185 American Law Review that goes into it. The 10th Amendment has no bearing on it. It says what was not given in the Constitution of the United States reserved to the states, the several states, and the people. And this says, oh no, we don't use that no more. Really? Did you know the 10th Amendment no longer has bearing? At least on this, they were talking about the elections. Really? You just can't make this stuff up. I mean, and they print this stuff. They print it. This is scary. Where'd our damn republic go? It's been overthrown. There's no elections for any public officers of the several states. Well, if you don't have any elections for them, you sure as a hell can't have a constitutional court. You got no governors, no legislature, nothing. It's all a con. It's the Matrix. It's a ruse. These states are operating as municipal entities under the United States, just like the D.C. is under the United States in the District of Columbia. So anyway, the Court of Claims, or Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, put on, I waited till the last day, and granted a 60-day extension on the appellate brief of the Moody's. Because said you can't have the same issue open to courts. So back down now in the United States District Court, I found out something else. They always say, oh, you can have a trial by jury. Have you ever seen a trial by jury in a reduced to judgment? I never have. Why? That's kind of an important issue. We promised it, trial by juries, but we never have them. And what's even crazier is this, like in Thornton's case and in Mooney's case, you get around and you lose with no sworn testimony in open court. How does that work? That sounds like the Schiff and Pelosi game. There's got to be some sworn testimony for evidence. No, what they do is, and I got it out of Thornton's case, and the magistrate, and I got it in two places, we finally pushed him, what these United States District Courts do, they are kangaroo. What they do is they use declarations. And if you do not oppose that declaration, every part of it, you have lost and don't even know it. You can go ahead and you can put in an answer. You can put motions to dismiss. You can do all kinds of motions. And they just drag it along for 6 months or a year. And then all of a sudden here comes usually a summary judgment. And you lose. With no sworn testimony in open court. How the hell does that work? And in Thornton's case, they said it was clear and convincing evidence. How in the heck do you have clear and convincing evidence, the highest level in a constitutional civil environment, with no sworn evidence? Oh, that's right. We're doing this with declarations. But it's worse. Because what I also found out is in Mertens, M-E-R-T-E-N-S, which is a database like American Jurisprudence or Corpus Juris Secundum, for on federal income tax. It said that that the notice of federal tax lien in these courts is an NREM action. So what's that mean? NREM, R-E-M. It means that when you go into that court, there is no trial by jury. It is like a maritime lien. It's strictly about one thing called the property, the thing, the right of property. Where you see land has possession, and right of property. Three parts. That comes out of Blackstone's second volume, page 199. And the possession is important. Then the right of possession is also called it's what a trustee does in a trust, but it's also called the legal title. And that just means you are controlling the thing called the right of property called the equitable title. So the thing is the right of property, and the control of it is the right of possession. And then if you have possession, and if you have all three, then you have what's called a perfect legal title. It's also known as a allodial title or fee simple absolute. So what these courts are doing, they're doing in rem actions against the thing. They don't tell you that. They promise you a trial by jury, but it never gets exposed because you never get to that point. They never, you lose and you don't even know why. You never get to the why we don't have a trial by jury. They're going after the thing. So now, this property gal that did the property advertising, she put in the paper. She puts in a declaration now because they're back to square one. They got to have a declaration. And in the paper, they're advertising right title and interest of the Moonies. That's a lie. That's not what's up for these people to have. If they buy it from the IRS or from the government, like what's going as a government, what are they getting? How do they get rid of the possession? What they do, and I found this out in Gladden's case in Dillingham. Like I say, he went off the rails too. It's amazing what people happen. But anyways, they forcibly removed him, and then they put in that he had abandoned the property. They have to get rid of your possession. So they take you out or threaten you like they did the Moonies eviction. Or if you don't leave, we're gonna threaten you. So what are you going to do? Sometimes you have to move on and then come back and fight another day. So they get rid of the possession part. How do they get rid of the right of possession part? If you don't object by your tacit silence, you've surrendered it. So then they go and they record it, and then you can get title insurance. Now, in Radden's case, he put in the public record for a perfect legal title. And they can't get title insurance. It's been sitting there. It's got a 10-year window, but I guess I'm not helping him anymore. He decided to go off and do something else. But this 10-year window is coming up to sue on that issue. They can't get title insurance because the people that do title insurance know that the title has got a cloud on it. And that's what happened in the Moonies case. They put in a loose pendants. They put a cloud on the title. Well, the Moonies filed in a second loose pendants, tying in this current case, because they want all three things: to validate the sale, to validate the transfer of the money, and to validate the transfer of the deed. Who in his hell in his right mind would say, oh yeah, you just take my stuff, this is okay, I'm a good American citizen, dumber than a rock? You betcha. But then, so now we found out that the judge, Nelson, she ain't a judge, she's a judge over the tribunal, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9, legislative court operating under the... She's representing the court under the control of Congress. Well, the thing I've been looking for, because what they do is they use United States of America as a sovereign body politic, which they won't tell you that part. Boy, they do not want to go there. There is no counsel for the United States of America in the district, lower district, United States district courts. They won't tell you. When they get up to the court of claims, all of a sudden it's counsel for the United States. And they get to the appellate federal appeals court, it's counsel for the United States. Well, wait a minute. How can you have a plaintiff of the United States of America and all of a sudden you're using the United States? Well, first of all, what they're doing, they say on behalf of. Well, what's behalf of? That means the United States, if you read their stuff in the lower court, behalf of means the United States has benefit, but they're not the real party of interest. So I've been looking for the Supreme Court case and the stuff to tie it, to blow these guys out on standing. You have to have standing in a court to have it adjudicated. So what I did is I spent about, I don't know, 6-8 hours reading cases, and all of a sudden I finally tripped on it. But now with this new in-RAM, I had to connect the in-RAM action with standing. And I got a case out of the Second Circuit where a claimant is standing. A threshold question of every federal case during the power of a court is to entertain that suit. And it's about in-rem actions. And they cited, I finally found the Supreme Court case I was looking for. It is a killer. It's Warth versus Seldin. Worth, Warth versus Seldin. 422 U.S. 490. It's a 1975 case. Just a killer case, right on point. And we filed this in against this PAHL, this Paul guy, this attorney down there. And in this are a couple of just, I mean, there's all kinds of cases. I say it's amazing when you finally find it's there, and it's all this stuff has been adjudicated at one time or another, but it's finding it. That's why Westlaw is so important. If you don't have Westlaw, you just give up. Just get out the Vaseline and bend over. This is 1997. This is the essence question of standing is whether the litigant is entitled to have the court decide the merits of the dispute or the particular issues. The inquiry involves both constitutional limitations on federal court jurisdiction and prudent limitations on its exercise. In both dimensions, it is founded in concern about the proper and properly limited role of the courts in a democratic society. So we got to have standing. Now that in the same case, going down, it quotes this, it says, in the constitutional dimension, standing imports justiciability, whether the plaintiff has made out a case or a controversy between himself and the defendant, meaning of Article 3. This is the threshold in every federal case determining the power of the court to entertain the suit. As an aspect of justiciability, the standing question is whether the plaintiff has alleged such a personal stake in the outcome of the controversy as to warrant his invocation of federal court jurisdiction and justify exercise of the court's remedial power on his behalf. To the Supreme Court. The Article 3 judicial power exists only. This is the killer of this next sentence. Well, I've been looking for that one. Okay. We'll be back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live.
Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Hey, we're back. And this case, like I say, is W-A-R-T-H, wrote this S-E-L-D-I-N, 422 U.S. 490. And it's just unbelievable. See, I got a quote on a page number wrong here. 498. Should be 390. Anyway, the Article 3 judicial power exists only to redress or otherwise to protect against injury to the complaining party, even though the court's judgment may benefit others collaterally. A federal court's jurisdiction, therefore, can be invoked only when the plaintiff himself has suffered some threatened or actual injury resulting from the putatively illegal action with other Supreme Court cases. That is a killer. United States of America itself has to have suffered some injury itself, even though a third party, United States, may reap some benefit. Boy, they got a problem here. I'm telling you, there are all kinds of Supreme Court cases on this. I just couldn't believe it. The other thing is, when the plaintiff has alleged injury sufficient to meet his case or controversy requirement, this court has held that the plaintiff generally must assert his own legal rights and interests and cannot rest his claim on the relief of the legal right or interest of third parties with other Supreme Court cases. This is, God almighty, I've looked for this case for several times, but I guess it just wasn't meant to be. But you start off and you just have to get the right case. That's why this research just takes, but I found the right with the in rem in that one case, and it led me right into this one finally. That's just a killer. Its own interest, and United States of America is a sovereign body politic. How are they going to explain that puppy? Huh? What are the interests of United States of America, a sovereign body politic? Who in the hell are you? I know who you be. Well, they don't want to go there. It's just unbelievable. This case is, I'd say there's so many Supreme Court cases that are referencing this. That is a killer case. It's just, I needed that. It's just absolutely a killer. I got another one. It says here, same for the purpose of ruling on a motion to dismiss for one of standing, both the trial and the reviewing courts must accept all as true all true all material allegations of the complaint and must construe the complaint in favor of the complaining parties. At the same time, it is within the trial court's power to allow or to require the plaintiff to supply by amendment to the complaint or by affidavits further particularized allegation of fact deemed supportive of the plaintiff's standing. If, after this opportunity, the plaintiff's standing does not adequately appear in all material of record, the complaint must be dismissed. This is going to cause a great big freaking damn problem for these courts, for this United States District Courts, now that we know that those, when they go in to reduce the judgment that's in rem, I got a bunch of other stuff on in rem about how can they just make it strictly in rem because a citizen of the United States can't own property. I think that's the key, but I can't prove that yet. Got to be able to prove everything of this. And I'm going to know about that.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.